But I want to teach another word to you today. It's called living with no regrets. And as we get into this, I think you'll see when you go through a transition in your life, in most cases, you tend to reflect. You look back over the past season of your life. And if you're not careful, you can get stuck back there because of things that went wrong, things that didn't go right, things that could have been done better, differently. You see things differently now after especially after you get through the heat of the moment or the heat of the battle, you look back and you go, wow, that could have been so much better. I wasn't thinking straight or whatever. I wish I could redo that. Well, the fact is, in most cases, you can't. You can't go live it over again. You can't redo it. But we do have to deal with the past. So let's do it. You want to? All right. So let me make a couple of statements. First is, no matter how much you've done right in your life, no matter what kind of a wonderful, good life you've lived for God, the enemy will always try to make you obsess over some of the things that you didn't do right. No matter how good it's been. On the other hand, no matter how much you've done wrong in your life, Jesus can set you free from your past. What this means is there's no excuse for us as Christians to live our lives looking backward with regret. What Jesus did, he did for you. Jesus set you free from your past. Nobody has a clean past. We all have skeletons back there. We all have problems and things that are there that we wish weren't there. And if you don't deal with it, there's pain attached to it. Either sorrow, sadness, anger, bitterness, regret. And Jesus wants to set you free. He won't delete the memories of our past, but he can take the pain out of it. He can take the pain out of your past. Isn't that a great thought? So that we can live with no regrets. Now, the scripture that I like to start with, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, it says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation." So obviously, if you have an event, you look at it, a mistake, you sorrow over it, and you repent. But it should end there. Did you know you can't just repent over something for the rest of your life? That's not scriptural. How long should you sorrow or mourn or grieve over a past mistake? What's the time limit? Here he says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted." Does anybody regret salvation? Do you regret the fact that you've been forgiven and made a child of God? We don't regret that. That was a good thing. God did that for us. Well, we should not regret the things in our past that made it necessary to be saved. Nobody's perfect. We all have mistakes in our past. And once we repent over them, once we accept God's forgiveness, it's not to be regretted. But he goes on to say, the sorrow of the world produces death. So there's a godly sorrow that leads to repentance, not to be regretted. There's a worldly sorrow that is an endless cycle of sadness and sorrow and reliving and redoing and wondering, what if I'd have done that? And what if I had done that? And what if they had done this? When you get into that cycle of sadness and sorrow, it's worldly. It doesn't lead to salvation. It leads to death. If you're allowing the enemy to beat you up over things that have happened in your past that you don't have the power to go back and change, you're letting him feed you a lie. Don't continually beat yourself up over things that you can't change. We all have them. It's part of being human. That's why we needed a Savior. Aren't you glad we have a Savior? We needed a Savior because we messed things up. And so I was going through this transition. This whole message came to me really in a flash as I was moving from one season to another. And again, I was reflecting, and I had events, and I would just think, I wish that hadn't happened. Anybody ever done that? You know, you're praying, you're trying to go forward, and then you go, yeah, but, oh, ew. Now, I wasn't depressed, and I'm not a sad person, but those things were there. And anytime that subject would come up, there's just this emotion attached to it. And I believe the Lord just got tired of it. I believe he just had enough of it, because really, if we're going to go forward and do what God has for us in the future, we got to get over the past. You can't go forward if you're looking back. You can't allow the past to hold you in a hostage. You can't allow past mistakes to control you today. How many of you can just believe you can just let some things go today? Just let it go. Yeah, but I'm not. Nope, let it go. Yes, but nope, just let it go. Yeah, but I've always identified with this tragedy. No, let it go. Get a new identity. Move on. It's time for a new day, a new life, a new outlook on life. So I was doing that, and I was in my prayer room praying and seeking God, and I was reading this book by a preacher, and he said, this, I don't know why this phrase stuck with me, but he said, I prayed for this person in a prayer line. It wasn't the dirty diaper prayer. It was actually a preacher who had somebody come up for prayer for some need in their life, and he said, I prayed with them, and he said, I knew they didn't get their answer, because when they left me, they still had that whine in their voice. And that just convicted me, because I realized, you know, I'm not sad and depressed, but there's definitely a whine in my voice when I think of certain events in my past. There's a regret there. And I don't believe we have to live with regrets. Think about this. When we go to heaven, we're not going to spend eternity regretting our life on earth. Do you know why? Because Jesus forgave us. For whatever faults and failures you have here, he washed that away. He's not going to let you spend your future regretting your past. Isn't that a great thought? So Revelation 21:4 says that God, this is talking about in heaven, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more pain, no more death. He'll wipe away every tear. Do you know tears represent regrets? So there's coming a time when we'll get into heaven and God himself is going to make sure that we're not going to spend any more time focused on the failures of the past. And he will wipe away those tears. Do you know why God will have the ability to do that? Because of the price that Jesus paid. Do you know Jesus has already paid that price? Do you know we can go ahead and do that right now? Why don't we just let the past go, turn it over to him, and move on into the future as if we didn't have a checkered past, as if it didn't matter, because Jesus took care of it. Every time I preach on these things, I hear the response from the crowd, and it's, you don't know what I've done. And I don't know what you've done. But I do know what he did, and what he did is greater than what you did. What he did was enough to set you free from what you've done. You have to believe that. We do believe that, don't we, as Christians? Don't you believe in the power of redemption? Don't you believe that Jesus did what he came to do? And so really what we're doing, if you go to Isaiah 53... Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, I'll show you from the Old Testament. Isaiah 53, 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He carried our sorrows. Well, if he carried it, we don't have to. How many of you know he carried your sins? Well, if he carried our sins, we don't have to carry them. Well, if he carried our sorrows, we don't have to carry them. Sorrow, the Hebrew word for sorrow means pain. It could be physical pain or mental pain. Now, people that look fine on the outside and they're Christians, they're going to heaven, there are people that are in this state, they're fine, okay, on the outside, and they're born again on the inside, but in their soul, they're carrying all kinds of sadness and sorrow and regret, and the Lord has paid a price, so you don't have to do that. Isn't that good news? He carried your sorrow. He carried your pain. He carried your mental anguish. Anything in life that has left its mark on you. And there are lots of things to go through in life. A lot of things cause damage. They leave their impact on our soul. Jesus paid a price, not only to forgive you of your sins, not only to heal your body, but to deliver your soul from pain, regret, sadness, mourning, grief, shame. How many of you could say, you know what, I want that. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be free from sadness of any kind. Isaiah 53:5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. That's sin. That's spiritual. He forgave us of our sins so we could be born again. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. That's the price he paid for peace in our soul. And by his stripes, we were healed. It was a complete redemption for complete person, spirit, soul, body. Regret and sadness and sorrow abide in the soul. I believe we can allow Jesus to do in our soul what he's already done in our spirits and what he does in our bodies when he heals us. How many of you believe that the power of God is not just limited to the spirit, but he can work in your soul? One of the characteristics of the New Testament church, get this is really deep, but one of our main characteristics as a New Testament church ought to be that we are happy. This is a good day. You should be thankful. My job today is to make you happy. Now, a few weeks ago, I was preaching on sin. You wouldn't have wanted to be in that church. I was preached on sin and hell. I'm preaching on happiness today. This is a good day. He wants you to be happy. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. Jeremiah 31:13 says, I will turn their mourning into joy. Psalm 30:11 says, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. This is all in the emotions. This can happen in your soul, in your own mind, in your will. There are Christian people who are crippled in their souls because of the past, because they've allowed sorrow and sadness to latch on because of the things they've been through or the things they've done. Satan is like a lawyer, and he's trying to take your own past and build a case against you. He's going to remind you of everything you've done and everything you've been through and the product of your environment and your neighborhood and tell you, you ought to be sad, you ought to be angry, you ought to be bitter. I'm telling you, Jesus came so you could be happy. Jesus came so you could be free. Jesus came so you could be glad. We have a glad message, and it's not just limited to one group of people or one age group or one, you know, economic group or one political group. The angel said to the shepherd, we have good tidings of great joy to all people. We still have that message today. We are the people with the good tidings. We aren't supposed to be mad about everything. Boy, if you watch the news today, I don't care who you agree with, I guarantee you they're mad. So, well, I don't watch that channel, I just watch this one. Yep, well, they're mad too. They're mad about this one, and these are mad about those, and then there's the 1% that's mad at the 99%, and then there's the illegals that are mad at the legals. I can't keep up with it. I need a list of all the people I'm supposed to be mad at. How about we just back out of that and say, I'm glad about something. I'm glad that Jesus came. I'm glad I have good news for everybody. It's not limited to one party or another. I got good news for the whole world. And before I can accurately and effectively do my job, I got to get over my own past. How many of you got your own issues? Man, I got issues. Yeah, well, join the club. We all got issues. We've all done things that we wish we hadn't done. I just want to encourage you. I feel like I'm on a mission to eradicate mourning and sadness and grief from the body of Christ. I'm giving you permission to let it go. We need you. We need you in the here and now. We don't need you in the past. We don't need you to continue to second guess yourself. Sure, you did it wrong. Is that so big a surprise? Well, you know, there are several areas that we cover, and I wanted to jump into some of them today. One of them is past sins. How many of you have got past sins? Don't raise your hands. Past sins. And you go, yeah, I know, I shouldn't have done that. I knew it was wrong. Yeah. But I did it anyway. Mm-hmm. And it hurt. Mm-hmm. And it hurt other people. Yeah, you're describing sin accurately. That's exactly what sin is. And that's why Jesus came, to forgive you of your sins. He did what he came to do. He forgave you of your sins so you can let it go. The Word of God clearly says, because of what he did, there is now no more offering for sin. No more offering for sin. What does that mean? You can't add to what he did. You can't add your grief and sadness to sin and help pay it off. It's paid for. It's gone. God's forgotten it. It's time for you to move on. It's time for you to let it go. He let it go. Now you need to let it go. No matter how much God forgives you, no matter how complete your forgiveness is, he can't stop you from going back and latching on to something and beating yourself up over it. And I'm telling you, it's time to let it go. Your grief does not add to what he did. It's over. Can you say amen? Amen. It's over. Amen. One of the areas that I love to cover in this regard is what I call missed opportunities. And the area of missed opportunities, we've all got those. How many of you have those? Maybe you had a chance to go to college, but you didn't. And you think, boy, what life would have been like if I'd have done that. You know, there are people that get my age and they haven't had kids and they're like, oh, we should have had kids. What were we thinking? We didn't have kids and now we're older and now it's too late to have. Wish we'd have had kids. You know, you could kick yourself over that for the rest of your life. But, you know, you didn't have kids. It's too late to have kids. Get on with it. The other people that are like, you know, why did we have kids? We didn't have to have kids. Nobody forced us to have kids. What were we thinking? We were so happy. And we had kids and they keep coming back and they don't ever go. The point is, everybody can obsess over something, but we are where we are. You just have one life to live. We've got to look forward and get on with it. No need to go back and figure out what we're supposed to feel bad about today. Let's just let it go and do what God has for us to do in the days to come. Amen. It's actually could be an escape mechanism. You can focus on what you could have been and should have been and would have been if you'd have done this. And all the while, you're not being what you could be, what you should be. You know, I have iPads and Apple phones, and I love Apple products, and I didn't buy Apple stock. What was I thinking? I could have been rich if I'd have bought Apple stock. When I bought my first iPhone, if I'd have bought stock, if I'd have put as much money into Apple stock as I did Apple products, I would be rich today. How long should you kick yourself over that? You know, if you continue to obsess over things like that, you're going to miss the opportunities that are before you right now. I don't want to do that. Life's too short. How many of you say we could just get happy? I think it would be a good testimony to the Lord today for the church to be happy, for the church to be glad with a true gladness that comes from a forgiven heart, where you understand the way redemption works. I'm not rejoicing because I got away with something. I'm rejoicing because I've been forgiven of something. I've been delivered from my own past. God delivered me from myself. Jesus came and lived the life that I could never live. Now I'm so grateful to him, I'm going to be happy for the rest of my life. Let me give you a couple more. Psalm 126, verse 1. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Does that sound like you? It should. We've been redeemed. We should be filled with laughter and singing. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Are they saying that about us? Or are we just as sad and lonely as the world is? We ought not live life that way. We should be glad that we're redeemed. We should be glad that the Lord is our shepherd. He's a good shepherd, isn't he? And if Jesus is our shepherd and we're his sheep, we ought to be happy sheep. What's the matter with you? Oh, I don't know. The Lord's my shepherd. And though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, nobody knows the things that have befallen me. One of these days, it'll all be over. We can rejoice over in glory. No, you can rejoice right now. You don't have to be sad. The Lord's done great things for you. They said, here it says, they said that about us. And then we said this, the Lord has done great things for us and we are glad. Jesus doesn't want you to be sad. No regrets. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? I mean, it's kind of a new thought. It's kind of a new way of thinking, but it's true. You can develop a resistance. You know, some people would fight an intruder if they came to their house. You'd fight them tooth and... How many of you would just back off if somebody knocked on your door and says, I'd like to come in and rob everything of value? You'd say, over my dead body. And they have this sense of authority, and rightfully so. But when it comes to the emotional realm, they're letting the devil come in and just keep them bound and oppressed every day. Satan knocks on the door and says, you know, after all that's happened to you, you ought to be sad. And you go, I know. Come on in. I knew you were coming back. You know, I was pretty happy over the holidays, but I knew it was coming back. So come on in. Yeah, and you did that too. Oh, I know. I thought I'd forgotten that. Yeah, you're right. And they just don't put up any fight whatsoever when it comes to their own soul, their own past. Of course, there are things in our past, but Jesus dealt with it all. You can resist that thief at the door and say, I have hurt over this long enough. I have regretted this long enough. I've relived this account the last time. I am not going back there anymore. There is a life to live in front of me, and I'm not going back to that way. Are you getting this? You got to be bold and stand on the truth. Get scriptures that promise these things and stand on them. It says, he said, I'll turn your mourning into dancing. Think about that transition. You go from mourning. You know, most people who are mourning or sad would be happy to just be melancholy. If you could just, can you just move me just a little bit? No, he said, I'll take you so far from mourning that you won't be able to contain your joy. You'll be overflowing. You'll have to dance. I like that picture. How about you? He can take you so far from mourning, you won't even be able to find your way back. You'll have to change your address. Sorry, I don't live there anymore. Jesus delivered me to a new place, and I am not going back. I am not going back there again. Hallelujah. Missed opportunities, the scripture, Joel 2:25. I will restore the years. Everybody say years. So I don't know what your mistakes have cost you in terms of time, but you don't have to regret it. You don't have to wonder what if or what, you know, it happened. So it's time to move on. You can look forward and let the Lord restore the years. I say it this way. God can do more with your future than you could if you went and lived your past over again. Some of us have said, if I could just do it again. Well, you can't, but if I could just start over again, if I could just, you know, I've learned so much. I did so many things wrong. I wish I could just go start over. You can't, but if you did, guess what? You'd mess that one up too. You'd find new ways to make new mistakes that you'd never thought of before, because none of us ace the test of life. Nobody lives this life perfectly, and if you had 100 tries, you'd fail 100 times. That's why we needed a Savior. He said, I'll just let you do it once, and I'll make up the difference, and together we'll do this thing. I don't care where you've been or what you've done. If you'll give God what you have left, He'll make the most out of it. And you can be who you were called to be and do what you were called to do and fulfill the purpose of God in your life. But you can't do it looking back. You got to look ahead. Amen. You know, that's the whole emphasis is on the present and the future and get out of the past. Now, if we had to go back in the past and change things, fine. But most of the time, people are regretting over things that can't be changed. And that's what makes it so painful, is there's nothing I can do about it. Well, can I tell you, you need to let it go. You need to release it. One of the greatest stories in the Bible of restoration, in my opinion, is when Jesus appeared to the disciples on the shores of Galilee after his resurrection. Does anybody remember that story in John? He was making the fish and the bread, and they saw him, and off they came, you know, came in from fishing. And while he was there with the disciples, he had an encounter with Peter. Anybody know what Peter did wrong? He had denied the Lord three times. And because of this, he was broken. He was hurting. Jesus was concerned with Peter's restoration. Jesus is concerned with your restoration. So when he had this encounter, I've read several commentaries. Every commentator agrees that what Jesus asked Peter, this situation, it had to do with restoration. So Peter had denied Jesus three times, had cursed, trying to prove to people that he didn't know Jesus. Jesus had told him he was going to do it. Isn't that a sad thing? I mean, you remember reading through that going, oh, Peter, just go home, man. He said you're going to do it three times. That's one. Just run. Just run. But we have to watch this train wreck, and he does it again. And it's like, it's just a servant girl. Could you not just say, yeah, I believe in Jesus? No. He's cursing and swearing. And it's just, it's heart-rending, isn't it? So here's Jesus. Now, Jesus told him he was going to do it. And he didn't tell him that to prove how great he was. Jesus was preparing for Peter's restoration before Peter even made the mistake. So here they are on the shore, and Jesus and Peter face to face, and now we're going to see godly restoration. It didn't go the way you would think. Think about this. Have you ever seen restoration when somebody's done something you told them not to do? How about your child or your parent? You know, if I was going to go through this restoration with my dad, it would have gone something like this. Sit down, boy. I told you you were going to do that. Now, have you learned anything from this experience? And do you promise you'll never do that again? And how can I trust you after what you just did? I mean, that's the natural form of restoration. Jesus completely exploded the conventional mode and said, Peter, do you love me? It's like, what? Are you going to spank me now? I mean, do you love me? Isn't that odd? And Peter says, yes. And so Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? You know, but were you there? I mean, you know what I just did. You know how horrible I feel because of what I did? I mean, can I just explain? Nope. I don't care about that. I don't want to go back there. I don't want you to sit down and tell me about it. I don't want to relive it. I don't want you to relive it. I want to know something, Peter. I want to know if you still love me. Did anybody in this room ever question Peter's love for Jesus? Did you ever question, even when he's sinning, you're going, oh, God, forgive him. He didn't mean it. There was a lot going on. I mean, I would have done the same thing. Just give him a little mercy. God didn't doubt it either. But it was important for Peter to know that as far as heaven is concerned, nothing's changed. I love you. Do you still love me? And Peter said, yes. And he said, feed my sheep, future. That's your ministry. That's what I've called you to do. That's what the world's waiting for you to do. That's what you're born to do. That's where you belong, is feed my sheep. And then Peter's like, yes, but I can't believe that I was so unfaithful and I would never do that again. I don't want to know that. What I want to know is, do you love me? Yes. Feed my lambs. Isn't that powerful? But I want to go back. I want to read. No, I don't want to. See, if Jesus was not able to rescue Peter from the past, He could have gone back there and relived that for the rest of his life, and he wouldn't have done what God had actually called him to do. The world was waiting for Peter to get over his own past. The Lord is waiting for Peter to get over his own past. God is waiting for you to get over your own past. The natural tendency is to go back and redo and undo and wonder why. And Jesus is saying, that's not the question. I don't want to know if you learned anything. And I don't want to know how you felt about it. And I don't want to know why you did it. What I want to know is, do you love me? And you may have all kinds of skeletons in your closet. And you might have wondered, how do I deal with all this? Let me tell you. Answer this question. Do you love Jesus? Can you say yes to that? Yes. All right, then. We don't go back there. Feed the sheep. That represents whatever God's called you to do, whatever God has for your future. You can't do that if you won't get out of the past. So once again, God's form of restoration. Do you love me? Yes. Then the past has been dealt with. It's over as far as God's concerned. Nothing in heaven has changed because of your past. It's all in effect. Plan A is still in effect. How many of you believe that God can make plan A work in your life in spite of all your mistakes, in spite of everything you've done? Don't believe all those lies. I'll tell you, we let Satan beat us up with all these lies, and we read so much into our mistakes. Let me give you a great scripture, Daniel 11 and verse 35. Daniel 11, verse 35 says, some of those of understanding shall fall. Isn't that a horrible thought? Some of those of understanding shall fall. It's going to happen. Not everybody's going to live a perfect life. But notice, when God's involved to refine them, to purify them, and to make them white until the time of the end, for it is still for the appointed time. So what he's saying is, you may have fallen, you may have known better, but if you let God, he can take even your mistakes and use them to fulfill his plan in your life. That even your mistakes will serve to refine you, to purify you, and to prepare you, because it's still for the appointed time. Hallelujah. It's still for an appointed time. I'm still going to do what God called me to do. How about you? And then in the end, when we do finish, we give Jesus all the credit. Because we know our past. We could have disqualified ourselves 100 times over. But the fact that we succeeded, it's all glory to him. And that's the way he wants it to be. So the question is not, are you sorry about your past? Or do you promise not to do it again? The question is, do you love Jesus? How many of you can answer that one? How many of you can see the freedom and liberty that's involved in that answer? Yes, Lord, I love you. All right, then. You love me? I still love you. You still love me? Then we're going to do this. We're going to do it. We can still do this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's into restoration business. Can I give you a little bit more? One area that we talk about, and there's so many different facets to this, and there are areas that I don't cover, but really anything that would cause you regret and sadness, anything that would draw you away from, you know, keep you looking in the past rather than, that's all been taken care of by the Lord. But one of the things that we mention in the book is broken relationships. And I think there are some false ideas we have about relationships. Friendships are good and wonderful, and they need to exist, and they will. But they don't all last a lifetime. I know, I didn't get a big amen for that. You know, because of the age of Facebook, when we got so many friends, and nobody wants to lose any friends. But the fact is, if you live for God long enough, you're going to make friends and lose them. Hallelujah. It's not a precious promise, but it happens. And one of the biggest surprises in my life was that I was going to get, you know, when you get saved, you realize you're going to lose friends. How many of you knew that? I mean, this is going to change some things. But then you get saved, you make new friends, and they're Christian friends. And we have this unspoken idea oh, these relationships are going to last a lifetime. Not necessarily. Sometimes friends are going to come and go, and that's okay. Your life is not judged a success by how many friends you have. Let me say this. Not every friend is going to be a friend for life. There are going to be times when you just go separate ways, when you're going to just going to lose friends. And if nobody's told you that, it may be shocking, but it's okay. I got a word for you. In Romans chapter 11, if I can find this quick, 12, I believe, Romans 12. Rather than find it, Romans 12:8, I believe. Do they put those up there? 12:18, you got it. If it's possible, notice this is not the normal language of the Apostle Paul. He's the all things are possible guy. Everything's possible in God. He says, when it comes to friendships, if it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You know why he said that? It's not always possible. It's not always possible. So if you get in a situation and two people go separate ways, it's okay. At some point, you have to say, you know what, God, whether it was my fault or their fault or a combination of our faults or nobody even knows what happened, I got to let that go. I'm not going to carry the guilt and the shame from this thing not working out with me for the rest of my life. Now, I covered this in this service because I think people in here need this. There are relationships in your life that are broken beyond repair, and it's not possible for you to fix it. What am I supposed to do? Move on. Move on. With relationships, the same as with mistakes and missed opportunities, the focus should be on the future. I had this happen one time, and I'll leave you with this. But I was losing some very important relationships in my life, and I was very grieved over it. And I prayed for the Lord to stop it. I could see it happening, and I said, God, I don't want to lose these people in my life. They're important to me. And in fact, I wouldn't be where I am today without them. I needed this friendship, these friendships, and I can't imagine living without it. And the Lord was so kind, and he gave me a picture of a space shuttle. You remember the old space shuttle that got on the, when it was put on the launch pad, it had the rocket boosters and the glider, and it would launch into space and about the edge of the Earth's atmosphere. What happened? Those rocket boosters would be ejected and they'd fall back to the Earth, and the shuttle itself would continue on into orbit. And the Lord showed me that picture, and he said, you're right. You wouldn't be where you are today without those relationships. However, you can't get where you're going now with them. Let them go. Let it go. And until that moment, I thought that I was obligated to maintain every relationship that I ever had. But you really aren't. You can only do so much. So if it's not possible to live peaceably with all men, and you've done your best, let it go. So that you can put all your focus on God's plan and your future. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? You know, just about every time I begin to share on these things, and it's happened again today, people in the congregation begin to cry. It's real. We're sensitive. We're Christians. We want the right thing. We want to do the right thing. And when it's not right, it bothers us. It hurts us. And nobody said it wouldn't hurt. What I'm saying is you can get over it. You can let Jesus apply his redemption, his healing power to your soul, and you can move on. He can heal those holes, those scars, those wounds, and only he can. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who's able to do what we can't do, who can work in our soul where no one else can do it. We apply these truths to the air of our soul. In fact, we say no to regret, to sadness, to sorrow, to mourning, to shame, to guilt. Those memories will not haunt us any longer. We stand against them in Jesus' name, like a thief that's trying to come in the front door. We resist you. We rebuke you. We replace you with the Word of God and the promises of God. If you're here today and you say, I have regrets, man, you have touched on something that I didn't even know was there, but it is there. What do I do? Well, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. If that's you and you say, I've got regrets that I want to deal with, I want to be happy again, I don't want this to mar my memories. I want Jesus to take the pain out of my past. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Let me see it all over the building. Thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord. Let's pray this prayer together. Now, this is just the beginning. You're going to have to probably do what I did. I took the scriptures, and they're all in this book, but we mentioned several of them today, but you get scriptures out, and you begin to confess those scriptures over your own past, and it starts a process in your life where you begin to replace the pain with joy and assurance and peace. And I guarantee you, Jesus can bring you to a place of total deliverance from the hurts of your past. Pray this with me as a starting point today. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you've done. You're my Lord and my Savior. I've been saved by the power of God because of you. Today, I ask you to save my soul. Heal the hurts. I've been allowing past experiences to speak to me. Today, I say no. I receive your peace and your joy and your healing. And I reject pain from the past. Thank you, Lord, for turning my mourning into dancing. Thank you for allowing me to trade my sorrow for your joy. Thank you, Lord, for working this miracle in my soul that I might be happy, that I might be filled with joy and face the future with gladness and expectancy in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give praise to God. Give praise to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, thank you so much for being so patient with me. I'm going to have Pastor come and lead us from here. I'm so blessed to have been here and to see this great work. It's just, boy, you're just going from glory to glory, aren't you? You're going from glory to glory, and it's not over yet. Amen.